From that form, he made another form called woman out of his rib. But God had given him form so that he could form something out of that. God wants to always bring form to life. He wants there to be a purpose. He wants there to be a shape to it. God's plan was to send Jesus, and he prophesies in Isaiah 61 the message of Christ, or what Christ is all about. He came to set the captives free and the prisoners. We can go on and talk about in Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus actually speaks the words from Isaiah 61. It's fulfilled right there in front of everybody's eyes in that synagogue. Let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. There's a key. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Here's a question. Is the Spirit of God on you? Is the Spirit of God in you? Then you have the form you need to face 2014, because that's the only form that'll get you through. And any other year that God so sees fit to allow us to live. See, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because there's a reason. Because is a reason. See, when you hear because, that means the answer's come. Because what? He has anointed me to proclaim. Proclaim, talk about, live, outwork, demonstrate, show, illustrate, proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Here's a prophetic word. 2014 is the year of the Lord's favor. So is 2015. So is 2013. So is 2009. What's the point? Every year is the Lord's favor on it. Every year God is designed for us to live. And guess what? People will die in 2014. People are going to get married. People are going to start businesses. They're going to build houses. They're going to sell houses. They're going to have kids. It's going to happen. What's the point? Life's going to happen, everybody. You know, I've been doing this a long time, 25 years of ministry. I started preaching when I was 15 years old. I started leading worship when I was 7. I've been around a long time. There's people in this room been around a lot longer than that in Christian circles. And every year you hear, this is the big one. This is the whammy. This service. Well, let me tell you something. There was all sorts of services that happened throughout the age, and God showed up in an unusual way. Like, it might have been just a service, but the Welsh Revival happened on one of those just services. Azusa just happened on a just service. The Welsh Revival that's happening now happened on a chance just meeting. People assembled thinking they're the church or not the church or going to brick, whatever happened. But God decided to show up in a demonstrative way. And can I say it? Sometime we're going to have just a service and God's going to hijack it. But here's the thing, we got to live life in between the hijacks. You know, we have this thing where there's this pressure to believe we live euphoric lives up here, optimum, all the time. Rubbish! Jesus wept over the ones that had to suffer the loss of Lazarus, and he waited 2 days to come and raise his buddy from the dead. And we didn't cry for himself. He cried because people had to go through stuff to find the answer. Here's a word. You're going to go through stuff, and you're going to find the answer, but life's not going to stop in 2014, y'all. It keeps going. Your knee might be a little sore. Pray. You might get some good or bad news. Pray. Don't stop worshiping God because you get a flat tire, for crying out loud. It's a tire, man. They go flat. Buy another one. Borrow from your neighbor the money to buy one. What's the point? Well, 2014 is going to have some flat tires in it. Do you believe that? The tire companies are hoping so. That's how they make money, right? And so Jesus in Luke 4:14, it says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. That's how God did this stuff, everybody. It was the power of the Spirit. He's tempted in the wilderness, and it says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. That'll blow your mind. We're not going there this morning. After he's done with that whole ordeal, he moves in the power of the Holy Spirit in Galilee. He was in where? Galilee. Where was he? He had a Galilean ministry. Do you know that? Why did he have a Galilean ministry? Why? Because it was prophesied he would. God had a plan. God knew exactly where Jesus was supposed to be. I can tell you where you're supposed to be today. Here. A lot of people ask me, where am I supposed to be? I guess talking to me right now, asking me that question. Ask God. I don't know. But I know this, God has a plan for where you're supposed to be in 2014. Ask him. But you better go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you in the right position to handle 2014? The Spirit was on him. The Spirit was in him. He was in the Spirit. That's a great position to handle any year, ending or commencing. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, it was prophesied that Jesus would have a Galilean ministry. He was right in the center of God's will, even when he got severely tempted. Oh, wait a minute, God doesn't allow any bad things to happen. Really? Have you read your Bible lately? That's not the God I read about. Case in point, Jesus. Everybody's supposed to live until they're 120 years old. Really? Jesus was 33. The Son of the living God. And he hit the mark doing it. He actually hit the mark God had set for him to die at 33 and a half years old. What God are we reading about? What God do we really know? Man, tough stuff happens. I'm going to tell you, tough stuff going to come down the pike. Every year we're on the dirt. Every year you're going to have rough stuff. I don't even have to prophesy that. That's life. You're not going to take life out of life. That's not life. Profound. Hey, you're following it. All right. You're right with me. Good. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. Here's our mission in 2014 and 15 and 16 and 20 and 25 and 36 and 3,000 if God tarries. I don't know when he's coming back. He don't even know when he's coming back. Only Father knows. Just keep pressing in because he will come back. He is returning. Our job is to occupy till he comes back. Sometimes that's tough. You know, the mundane is so mundane, man. You know, the gory is spelled gory and glory is spelled glory for a reason because they're two separate things. Do you know that? But we expect in everything to be glorious. He is glorious in everything. The events aren't glorious. He is glorious in the events. We got it a little bit backwards. He is glorious in all events. He is King of Kings in all events. He is worth living and putting my life into. He's the one. He's the river, everybody. And he has nothing but my good upon his heart. He turns around everything the devil means to destroy me. He turns it around for the good because he loves me. It doesn't mean the devil won't try to do bad things. It means bring it on because God's going to find a way to turn around for my good. My trust is in him, not circumstance or a year or events. It's in him because he's ageless. He's timeless. How beautiful are the on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Can I say to you this morning, Zion, Your God reigns no matter in 2014 and the end of 2013. Your God reigns in all circumstances. Proclaim salvation. Proclaim the good news. That is our mandate. No matter what year it is, we proclaim the good news of Him who was and is to come. Matthew 9:35. There's an excerpt where it's talking about the workers, servants. That's you and I. Are low in number. They're few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming what? The good news. There wasn't a lot of good news. They were under Roman dictatorship, oppressed, buffeted on every side. In a short time, you know, Jesus came. Do you know Jesus came? And we think that Jesus came and everything became hunky-dory, like it's really hard to live today with our iPhones and our you know, Nintendo and our Wii and all that good stuff. Wow, it's really rough. We got cars today, you know. We think they had a dream life, like nothing bad happened. It's a few short years after Jesus came, and they burn our brothers and sisters, Christians, on poles. They light Rome and the theater with them impaled on a pole. Roman candle, it's from a term where the Christians were impaled through their orifices and lit on fire. After the good news was preached, good news was still the good news, everybody. The salvation of Jesus is still the good news. The miracle-working wonder healer is still the healer even back then, and he is today. In the deepest parts of the Congo and Uganda, where people are suffering and losing body parts for their faith in Jesus, who's alive today? It's good news, everybody. It's good news. It's worth living. It's worth putting and investing everything we are and who we are in the good news of the kingdom, Jesus, who rules and reigns. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. It is the good news of the kingdom. He takes the suffering away from a people. He helps the oppressed. He brings light to those who are complete in darkness and brings them into his marvelous light. The good news, he says to his cousin John the Baptist, when John the Baptist is having a real wonky moment, soon he will have his head taken from his shoulders. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, hey bro, hey cuzzy bro, are you the one? And Jesus answers this in Matthew 11:5, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What's that mean? Jesus is an offense to those that don't want to see a life of the Spirit moving today. Jesus is an offense for those who move in the Spirit and tough things still happen. And the prayer isn't answered exactly the way I thought. Jesus is an offense to both sides of the face that we're looking through, the filter we're looking through. I don't want to stumble because of Jesus. I want to embrace Jesus. I don't understand. Here's the thing about it. In 2014, I don't have to understand everything about God for him to be true and real and alive and the one and wonderful and beautiful and God. I don't have to understand. I do not have to understand. He is. He is more than enough for us. He is at the center of all life, beckoning those by his love. God is love, everybody. 2014 is going to be a love year. Yeah, man, it's a love year. It's all about love. It's always going to be about love. It's always going to be about breakthrough. God is the God of breakthrough. It's always going to be about miracles and signs and wonders. He is the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. He didn't change. And somewhere down there, they didn't say, okay, only the 12. They're the ones that got to have the fun bunch party and see all the stuff. You guys, a bit wonky. You're going to suffer, die, and it'll be terrible. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news. That's not what life's all about. That's not what awaits us up ahead. Jesus sends out the 12 in Luke chapter 9, 1, 2, and also verse 6. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. Do you know God's given you power and authority through his life, through the power of the Holy Spirit? Why are we afraid of God? Because we don't understand. I just said you don't have to understand for him to be God. He is God. I don't understand everything about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's kind of freaky sometimes. I get that. That's cool. But it's a God freaky. You know? Couldn't walk, now I can. Was dead, now I'm alive. Had incurable disease, now I'm healed. That's kind of a good freaky, everybody. Do you agree? Right? No commerce in a village. Total commerce in a village. How about the prophecy over Flame Tree? Did you catch that one a couple years ago? The town you're in is going to flourish. New businesses are going to spring up because of the anointing that's on you and you praying. Do you remember that one out of Bethel to Joel about 3 years ago? Let me see. Let's just try to work this out. Wow, Outback Jacks. The Scotch Bakery. Wood-fired. Coming in March to a theater near you. Kohl's. A tram. Why do we have a tram coming? Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a new Aldi's. Hello? Do you think God spoke and is doing it? Hello? Nambour, hello? God has a plan. God has a future. God has a hope. Well, I didn't hear the prophecy. I didn't know there was a prophecy. Was there a prophecy? It doesn't matter. If you heard it or didn't see it or couldn't write down, it's happening. Enjoy the benefit. Hallelujah. You're nice people. Right? And the power and authority to drive out all demons. Hallelujah. We need some of that today, let me tell you. There's a lot of demons walking around. And to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. There's a mandate still upon us to do that. It wasn't for the original 12, they were testers, they were the prototype. We're called disciples. It's still for us today. I'll prove it to you. Acts chapter 2, we got this guy called the Holy Ghost, he is God. I don't know if you heard about him. He's pretty powerful. He is God. And he came into this meeting. They were there just praying. All of a sudden, atmosphere changes. Uh-oh. The litany of service events has just changed. The Holy Ghost comes in with fire and with wind. And everyone's talking in an unknown, learned language. That'll freak you out, won't it? Hey? Hopefully all of you are freaked out and receive that. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, if you read about it, it's for your children and your children, all those who are far off. That actually means generational. That's not talking about little Johnny, who's their second cousin removed from Aunt Mame, was a little, you know. It's talking about generations to come. That's us. The Holy Spirit's power is for us today. It's the only way we will embrace 2014 the way God wants us to. See, more and more, if we try to reason and embrace the events that are coming through our psyche, our brain, we're going to have a really tough time. We're going to have an extremely tough time to embrace things coming just in our flesh, in our facility and capability, and just our senses, because we're made with senses. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be positioned. We need to have him on us. We need to be in him. He needs to be in us. Just like Jesus' positioning was on the face of the earth. Acts 5, verse 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped. This is the disciples teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's our message. Jesus is God. Jesus is hope. Jesus is peace. Jesus is love. Jesus is pure joy. Jesus is the only thing that has to be at the center of my life. You know, PJ and I were just talking. Why does it take cataclysmic, traumatic, suffering points for people to come back to Jesus or to come to Jesus? Do you know why? The sinful nature is wicked. And we're in pride and we think it's us and we're the bag of chips and the free Coca-Cola with it. We think it's all about us. The sun revolves around us. And it takes things sometimes to bring us back to saying, it's not us. There's something bigger, better, greater, who I need to rely on. It doesn't remove the situation. It helps me to get through the situation because I'm complete in him. Remember, he's my protector. He's my guide. He's my everything. Jesus is my everything. Say this, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is my everything. And I pray you find that in the revelation that he wants to drop that in your heart this coming year. Acts 8:12, when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news. Now we got Philip. Philip becomes part of the fun bunch, the believing believers. And he's proclaiming the good news. And if you've taken notes or taken note of what I've said, I've used that phrase, proclaimed good news, several times this morning. That's what we should do. That's what our position is in 2014. We are to live or speak or act out the good news. I love what one guy who's long gone said, preach the gospel always, and when you need to, use words. Why is all that demonstration along with the verbiage, proclaim good news? Because you can't just proclaim stuff without demonstrating it. You just can't talk about healing if we're not praying for healing, everybody, and seeing someone healed, because theory without practice is useless. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. So our position in 2014, we got to be a people that demonstrate or have a go a lot more than we are. Let's have a go a lot more. Let's lay hands on. Let's talk about Jesus a little bit more. Let's talk about salvation a little bit more. Let's talk about the deliverer, the healer, the soon and coming king a little bit more. Let's live that a lot louder. Live it a lot louder. Not talk it a lot louder. Live it a lot louder. Jesus was the great illustrator on purpose. He illustrated. He demonstrated. He talked about it. He did it. He told his disciples, come and do it. He said, have a go. Get out there. Bye-bye. See ya. You're gone. Pass go. He's still doing that, everybody. The only way they're really going to know the church exists if we do it out there. They're not coming in here. Waiting. They weren't decked out all the way back down there to Coast Creek Plaza. They're waiting for us to show them there. 2014. This neighborhood needs a little injection of Jesus. Don't know if you noticed. Or Nambour, or Sunny Coast, or where you work, or where you go to school. 2014 is going to be an amazing year. Do you know why? Because God's an amazing God. And he's raising up amazing people. Let's keep the point the point. Jesus is the point. And Jesus is the one that sent Holy Spirit. You read John. Jesus sent Holy Ghost to us. I love Holy Ghost. He's wild, man. He is a lot of fun. He is a lot of fun. He'll make shopping a lot better than just shopping. I'll tell you this story. It's a great story. My in-laws are here. And when we first came back from America, my wife and Angie and I, my in-laws live in a place called Ormo, or Omu, or wherever, down near Kingsholm, northern Golden Beach, or Gold Coast, wherever, dude, I'm lost. Anyway, so Gold Coast, spoken by a true Gold Coastie in. Okay, so I'm in Ormo because, how many men have gotten a list? Raise your hand, don't be ashamed, you know the shopping list. Raise your hand, dude, don't be afraid, I know there's a lot of you in here. Anyway, so I got the list. We needed a few things, so I had to go down the IJ. And I was arguing with God about moving here. I didn't want to come to Australia, sorry. And so I was still arguing, upset, just sold everything I owned, brought my baby girl and my wife back to Oz and with the in-laws down the IGA, and I hear him. You know who he is. Holy Spirit, messing up my day, right? And he's like this. Look, when you go to the meat counter, the guy who's going to ask you, can I help you? You're going to say, no, but I can help you, and you're going to give him this prophetic word. I said, get out of here, dude. I am not doing this. I don't even want to be here. I got the list. I don't know anybody. I'm coming over here. There's a line. It's embarrassing. I'm not doing it. So we had a little chat. First lady gone. Second lady gone. Here's this guy. He's about 20 years old. And I could just feel, and I knew the Holy Spirit saying, we're doing this. We're doing this. So anyway, he says, can I help you? And I say, no. But this is what God says to you. So I give him this prophetic word. And I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, go further. Dude, do you want to receive Jesus right now? You know you do. You want to receive Jesus right now. The kid goes, yeah, I do. Now I got about six people. Doing this. Thought we were at the meat counter, you know. So I come around the counter, actually jumped up on the counter, got back, prayed with this kid. Brian and Roz owned that shop. And prayed with this kid. Thank God the owners were Christians. Hallelujah. And this kid gets saved. This kid had been fighting God for 2 years, going to youth group just because it was a thing to do. Totally got saved. Got fired 2 weeks later. End up going to Bible school as a pastor today. Just amazing events by listening to the Holy Ghost. He'll mess up your shopping and everyone. He'll get people fired so they can go be pastors. I mean, it's a trip, man. Let's see how many people can get fired this year. No, I'm just kidding. No. What's the point? We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be those that are going to have a go. We need to be Indiana Jones type mentality people to have a go. Following God's going to be an adventure. You're not going to know exactly what the hidden passage is and what the keys are in every instance. But aren't you glad that He's God and we're not? He's got it all figured out. All we got to do is rely on Him. And the Holy Spirit is the map. Just follow Him. It's called Follow the Leader. Have you ever played Follow the Leader? Hey, I hate that game. I hate the game when you're in the middle, you really can't see, and you're like, did they really do that? And you're at the end, and you kind of get, never mind. The reason we hate the game is we like to be in control. Yeah, we like to be masters of our own destiny, and we're not. God is sovereign, and He has, believe me, if He is God, He knows exactly where I'm supposed to be. He knew Jesus had to be in Galilee. He prophesied it. He knows where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be right here this morning. I don't know about 6 months or 12 months or 12 years from now. Follow the leader. Don't try to lead. You know, it's like the guy that, you know, says, like me, that I always think the GPS is lying somewhere. I have a, you know, I'm a bit of a skeptic, really, down deep. I don't trust a lot of people, don't trust a lot of things. And so I think the GPS is lying. That's why when Darren Holger and I went to America last year in June, Darren goes to church here. He's a phantom because he doesn't show up a lot because he's always in China or somewhere else doing his business. Loves Jesus, but a little bit, you know, out there. And of course, I'm the American, so I'm driving on the American side in Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. We spent more time trying to get back on the course because I divert. I don't believe that. I'm not doing that. That doesn't make sense. Why would we go over there to go there? Because there was detours. Because the GPS knew. I found out I'm not a real good follower because I like to be in control of it. And humanity is the same. In 2014, let's let God have control. Let's read in Jeremiah 29. You remember the captivity. Remember, Israel was taken captive from Jerusalem and put in Babylon. And what was God's voice through the prophet Jeremiah? Give up, be vagabonds, be listless, don't plant nothing, just chill out, wait for me to beam you out. Was that his message? No, this is what his message was. Verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. That's another sermon. He carried them into exile. Verse 5, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. That's a word for us. We need to increase in numbers. We need to see people saved in 2014. We have to share the gospel. We need to win the lost. We need to see the backslider come in to him again. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city. For Nambour, it's starting to prosper again. Let's keep praying. Let's keep prophesying. Let's keep believing. Let's be part of the solution by living in God. It says this, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God wants us to prosper, everybody. I'm not going to walk around and hide in some cave with cans of beans stacked up with an AK-47 around me because we're going into the last days. You got to be kidding. We got to live life. We got to plant. We can't say, well, stocks are up or down or this pressure or that and start to make decisions based on something that's not worth following. Jesus is the one we need to follow. He's the one you need to hear. Holy Ghost has to be your map and torch and gauge. Most times I need 14 maps and 13 torches to find out where I've been, let alone where I'm going. Why would I take control? Let the one who's in control lead us. If he says buy, buy. If he says build, build. If he says sell, sell. If he says no, don't. If he says yes, you better. Whether no one else is or not, but we need to hear God ourselves in 2014. You need to hear God yourself. You need to be in that position. Pastors can't do it for you. Elders won't do it for you. Your kids, your grandkids, your wife, she can't hear God for you, men. You have to hear God yourself. We have to. It's imperative. This is what 2014 will look like and every year after. The thing is, as the years go by, it'll become more important that we hear God ourselves and be led by the Holy Spirit. This is going to finish by showing a clip by S.M. Lockridge. I've showed it a year or two or so ago. And I just wanted to impart to you who Jesus is and who we're really following and what 2014 will look like. It's a good reminder.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Stand to your feet. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we are your people, that you would guide us, that you would lead us. Lord, we look forward to the new year because we look forward to you in it, with us, around us, filling us. Lord, I praise you and thank you that we are being saved. We're saved, but you're saving us. It's a progression into you, deeper into you, the depths of you. May we find. Lord, help us. Give us a boldness. Lord, may we find our faith totally placed in you. May we jump in this river that is you. Lord, we ask for, Lord, guidance and help and clarity of hearing your voice, recognizing your communication to us. Lord, we praise you and thank you that, Lord, you have the plan of our life, and that, Lord, we just need to follow. So, Lord, this morning we say yes. We want to follow. Help us follow. Lord, we confess we're weak, but we know you're strong. And, Lord, I thank you that we're going to delight and be ones, even with stresses and things around that surround and we see, we'll be ones that will have laughter coming out of us for your glory. Be filled with joy and peace and, Lord, of course, walking and immersed in love. We thank you, Lord, for this year. We look forward to next. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give about 10 people a hug or a high five? We'll have service tonight. Bless you.